I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Good morning and welcome to KC Currents. We use stories and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region, and now we're live so we can take your calls on some of the big issues in our community. Speaking of which, Kansas City is known as a weak mayor town. Now, that's no slight on Mayor Sly James. It's just the way the city charter sets up our government, where the mayor is basically a glorified city council member, and the city manager really runs the town. Since June, a group of citizens have been meeting to make recommendations to revise the charter. And two of the major issues they've been looking at are the role of the mayor and the composition of the city council. One close observer and participant in the process is Jared Carr. He teaches public administration at UMKC and is the director of the Cookingham Institute of Urban Affairs. Professor Carr, thanks for joining us on KC Currents.
Thank you very much.
Now, you just moved here from Detroit 2 years ago. So just informally, have you gotten a sense of how content or discontent locals here in Kansas City are with their city government?
I actually think they seem to be fairly content, certainly, again, as compared to Detroit, which there was an awful lot of conflict in the city, unhappiness over services, et cetera. But so, yeah, I think compared to Detroit, Kansas City is doing very well.
And considering Detroit recently went bankrupt, I think there's pretty solid reasons for that.
Yes.
So in looking at potential charter revisions, what do these terms weak mayor or strong mayor really mean?
Thank you. Wanted to back up a little bit. So we often hear the term council manager and mayor council thrown around. So there really are two very distinct systems, and they're based on the idea of a separation of power, where in the council manager system, you take away the division of a legislative and executive branch and move them into one.
Legislative executive is what we're kind of used to thinking of in the federal government.
Exactly.
Right?
And the mayor council structure is based essentially on the design of the federal government. So you collapse the two branches into one, which is designed to produce more consensual decision making. The executive responsibilities in the council manager system are assigned to the city manager and in the mayor council to the mayor. And then another really key difference between the two is how the responsibilities for the a CAO is assigned. In the mayor council system, it's the mayor and the council manager. The council and the mayor together make these decisions.
And so this idea of a strong mayor is the mayor council system, right?
Yes. And when you hear a strong and weak mayor, you're usually talking about the mayor council system.
Yeah.
But what there really is, there's a lot of institutional variety. These two terms are kind of end extremes that in reality, very few cities actually have that. There's been a lot of move toward the middle where each side adopts a little bit of the other. And in Kansas City's case, I mean, I wouldn't describe Mayor James as a very, very weak mayor. I would say the council manager mayor tends to be weaker than the mayor council. But the mayor is directly elected, also has veto power and has other types of power that makes the mayor stronger than you might classically think of in a council manager system.
And is there something about this particular mayor and this particular council that might do well with this system or do poorly in this system?
Just from my short time here, I actually think he does very well in this system. I think it takes a different kind of mayor, right? Because in the mayor council structure, you have coercive power. You have the ability to set your agenda and move forward with council involved, of course, but it's very different when you're part of the council. You share the responsibility of overseeing the manager with the council. And so it takes a mayor that is able to build coalitions, operate more consensually, facilitate. And this mayor actually does pretty well, but it's probably a little bit challenging for many mayors.
But some people think just because this mayor does well with it doesn't mean it's necessarily a good system for the city.
I would say, well, most of the really large cities in the country are mayor council. You do have some large ones, such as Oklahoma City, Fort Worth, us, Cincinnati. There's quite a few that are large. But I would argue that in a city this large, where the people tend to want a single political leader to focus on as the mayor. So there's always this agitation to make the mayor stronger when you have a council manager structure.
And to be able to make the mayor accountable for mistakes that are made. I mean, here you can then look at the city manager as really having been in charge.
And that's our typical conception of accountability in this country, right? Again, based on when we think about the federal government, we think of accountability operates through elections and these elected officials are responsive to us. The council manager structure works more on bureaucratic accountability, hiring a professional manager who understands how to do things. And so it's a different kind of accountability structure.
What would change if we went to a system which was a mayor-council system or a strong mayor system?
It's hard to know, right, because there's so many moving parts, right? I mean, that's the beauty of social science. There's a lot of pieces to this. But I think you could predict more conflict. You could probably also predict the ability to move programs faster, right? You have this single policy leader that people tend to focus on more. You know, there's a really large difference between the kind of administrative experience that a city manager brings and a mayor. So you could also, I mean, that in let me say this: if this was a mayor council system, very likely you'd have somebody like Troy Schulte that was hired by the mayor. So you would also have some, you know, fairly good experience.
Somebody who was a professional administrator.
Yeah.
As opposed to a politician or somebody, as in Sly James' case, who had never been in politics before until he became mayor.
Right. And so they often talk about the difference between the two forms, political decision-making versus administrative decision-making.
Hmm. Now, what about the city council? Currently, we have six districts in Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. and each has one council member that's elected just from that district, and then another who's in that district, who lives in that district, but mm-hmm. is elected citywide or at large. So is this a common setup?
It's not unusual to have these mixed systems. I'm not sure that I've seen any where it's equally balanced. But, you know, as you can guess, right, they often think of the at-large as providing a city perspective, the district or the ward is providing a neighborhood or at least a more local perspective, and so oftentimes you're trying to get a little bit of a balance. Kansas City has chosen to have equal. It's not unusual to see, say, 80% of them would be district and a smaller percent would be. And that's certainly, I would say, I've been watching the process. There's two really big issues they're focusing on: strengthening the power of the mayor to some extent, and this idea of potentially changing the districts.
And that idea is in part coming from some Latino and African-American leaders who say that the council should have fewer or no at-large council members because it dilutes the power of Black or Latino neighborhoods to pick their own representatives. And that citywide, maybe not the same person would be picked as that community would choose. They say we would have more leaders of color. Wonder, what does your research show?
Again, there's a lot of different elements to it, but I think that's a reasonable proposition generally, is that if you have districts, you change the ability of people to win. You change kind of the viability of particular candidates. Maybe it's racial, or also maybe it's people with fewer resources. And so at the very minimum, you probably change who can win when you go to a district, more districts.
And there's been particular concern that there hasn't been a Latino city council member for a long time. Do you think that could make a difference there?
It could. New enough to the city that I don't know the demographics all that well, but I do have a sense from what I've seen so far is that the Latino population isn't quite as concentrated as African American. So you may have a little more ability to draw in a district if that's what you're trying to get.
And again, Kansas City changed district boundaries just 2 years ago. It's so complicated. But some are suggesting more smaller districts. What are the implications of that idea?
Well, so it depends. So if the more smaller district means more council members, right? So if you're maintaining the same council, at some level, it means, right, probably less resources necessary to win, mm-hmm. which at least kind of changes the kind of people you get. But on the other hand, right, there's an argument, too, that says fewer districts means more people with a citywide perspective, more people with experience. And it's harder to win without some sort of name visibility and experience in government.
That's interesting. So when you run citywide, you basically need more money to run.
And it helps if people have heard of you.
Is there a sweet spot for the number of council members?
Actually, nine. Nine is actually, I did see one study once that said that's the perfect number.
Interesting. Well, Jared Carr is director of UMKC's Cookingham Institute of Urban Affairs. Thanks for breaking down the city charter review process for us.
You're very welcome.